ANH.com.
Congratulations to the Durand, Arkansas Panther girls basketball team on their qualification for the WYAA state tournament in Green Bay. I'm Brian Winnekins, inviting you to join me, along with former Durand, Arkansas girls basketball coach Lionel Jones and Randy Kohler, for complete coverage of the Panthers' trip to Green Bay. Our coverage begins at 6 p.m. on Thursday night, and tip-off of the Panthers' Division IV state semifinal against St. Mary Catholic will be at 8:15. Coverage from the WYAA Girls Basketball Tournament is brought to you in part by Security Financial Bank, Advent Health of Durand, Bauerbilt Tire and Service Center, Durand and Mall Drive, Eau Claire, the Jerry Thompson Insurance Agency, a division of Ansay & Associates, and our streaming audio being brought to you by Prime Realty of Durand and Adams Super Service of Durand. Good luck, Lady Panthers, at the WYAA State Girls Basketball Tournament. From all of us at Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM, WRDN. You're listening to WRDN 1430 AM Durand Mondovi Wabasha and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A day after Ukraine agreed to a U.S. proposed 30-day ceasefire with Russia, Russia today carrying out attacks across eastern Ukraine. President Trump at the White House did not call Russia out for its latest attack, but says he plans to talk with President Vladimir Putin in the coming days to hopefully get them to agree.
Hopefully we can get a ceasefire from Russia, and if we do, I think that would be 80% of the way to getting this horrible bloodbath finished. It's a bloodbath.
Russia says it's still studying the terms of the deal. President Trump defending his tariffs, including the 25% tariffs on steel and aluminum that kicked in today on countries worldwide. Allies like Canada, China, and Japan now imposing reciprocal duties on U.S. goods. Sweeping layoffs taking place at the Education Department, the Trump administration moving to cut some 50% of the workforce, saying it plans to shift funding to states. Critics say it will hurt underserved and special needs students in schools. This is ABC News. A controversial new method of putting convicts to death was to be used for the first time in Louisiana next week, but the procedure has now been put on hold. Attorneys for a condemned man say the use of nitrogen hypoxia instead of lethal injection is a violation of the U.S. Constitution.
Attorneys for the state of Louisiana and for death row inmate Lonnie Hoffman Jr. will make their arguments before the Court of Appeals, and then
whoever loses is going to ask the U.S. Supreme Court to weigh in.
Loyola Law Professor Dan Ciolino says it's not a slam dunk for prosecutors.
I don't think this is something that's going to be easy for the state to prevail.
And may extend Lonnie Hoffman's life for months or years. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
The former president of the Philippines, Rodrigo Duterte, was turned over to the custody of the International Criminal Court today. It follows his arrest on charges accusing him of crimes against humanity during his deadly anti-drug crackdowns while he was in office. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Is that a new Samsung Galaxy A15 5G?
Yeah, I got it for free when I joined Cricket Nation.
Sounds pretty great.
At Cricket, anyone can get a new phone when they switch.
Whoa.
With a high-quality camera, meaning more flattering selfies for all. And super-fast 5G, so you can post them for all to see. Your friends, your family, your ex. Free phone! Free phone!
Okay, I'll switch.
Welcome to Cricket Nation.
Cricket 5G is not available everywhere. Must bring your number to Cricket on a $60 a month voice plan. First month service charge and tax due at sale. Fees, terms, and other restrictions apply. See CricketWireless.com for details.
Hey, Green Goblin here. So you've got a clogged drain in your bathroom. Water in the sink's overstaying its welcome. You're spitting today's toothpaste on top of yesterday's toothpaste. You hope that it'd go away. Yeah, clogs don't just go away. I make them go away. I'm Green Goblin, the only clog dissolver you need. I'm bleach-free, safe for your pipes, and I work. Guaranteed or your money back. Because I never met a clog that was going to unclog itself. Green Gobbler. Let the gobbler get it.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayler. A bill requiring Wisconsin sheriffs to seek proof of citizenship from persons in custody on felony arrests clears the State Assembly Committee. Kenosha Representative Tip McGuire was among Democrats voting no Tuesday.
This is a perfect example of big government, whereby the state legislature is saying we are going to hold local governments and cut their funding if they don't comply with what the federal government wants.
If the sheriff doesn't comply, the local government will lose 15% of its revenue from the state in the following year. The Assembly Committee on Criminal Justice and Public Safety voted 8-4 to recommend passage. Wisconsin legislative Republicans want tougher action to prevent trans students from taking part in high school and collegiate sports. State Assembly Republican Barb Dietrich of Oconomowoc says action from President Trump doesn't go far enough.
We've all seen now with the executive order coming down from the president, both the WIAA and the NCAA take some steps forward to comply with that, but they fall a little bit short.
Dietrich's bill would ban trans students from changing rooms and locker rooms and impose penalties against any college or school that ignores the ban. Rebecca Cook announces another run for Western Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. Cook is a waitress, small business owner, and nonprofit leader from Eau Claire. She'll again challenge incumbent Republican Derek Van Orden, who she narrowly lost to in the 2024 November general election. The 3rd District expects to be one of the most competitive congressional seats in the country and has already drawn outside interest from Democratic political action committees like House Majority. Cook says she's running again because Wisconsin families deserve a fair shot and a seat at the table. The 3rd Congressional District covers a large portion of western Wisconsin and also parts of Portage, Wood, and Adams counties.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. The sun won't stop. There's plenty of it today with high temperatures reaching the mid-50s and more of it tomorrow as we climb to the low 60s. Clouds start to roll in for Friday, things become breezy, and we get muggy and warm with highs reaching 70. Then at night, thunderstorms roll through. Get cheaper and faster internet from Whole Home Connect. 1-800-217-9129. Currently, it's 45.
Sellers retook control of the corn and soybean markets while wheat futures ended the day mixed. Hard red winter wheat ended the day with slight gains there. Lean hog futures were mixed. Cotton futures were higher. Live cattle futures were higher. And feeder cattle were sharply higher.
Live from Hump Day via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Sam Hudson from Corn Belt Marketing. Directly following the news, Todd Bubba Horwitz from BubbaTrading.com. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. If I seem a bit distracted here at the moment, because I was updating the numbers.
Oh, well, don't let us distract you, buddy. I mean, we'll be fine.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I'm here. Wait for you. You're here.
Don't mind us.
We're all good. 18 press releases at least. I mean, that's what I got counted. 18 press releases from the Environmental Protection Agency today.
Today.
18. It started, I think I went back far enough on this. But I think it started with WOTUS, the Waters of the U.S. press release, which I think is pretty good news. Mm-hmm. It goes back to the continuous water flow as far as establishing what is a water of the United States and where the Corps of Engineers has jurisdiction and so on. Mm-hmm. So I think that's good news. We will have conversations tomorrow to kind of get some additional perspective on that. But ever since then, it's been a steady flow of press releases from EPA today. It's almost a look at what I got done today, Mom. Crazy.
Have you, and I know you're a busy man, so it's okay to say no. Have you had a chance to read them all?
No.
Read them all?
No.
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah. No, not at all. I mean, this last one is on revising wastewater regulations for oil and gas extraction to help unleash American energy. No, I haven't read them all.
Well, I think you got the gist of that one. That's pretty good. Check that one off.
Yeah, yeah. There's just a lot going on. A lot going on in the markets, too. Some volatility slipping back into the trade. We're going to talk about that with Sam Hudson from Corn Belt Marketing, and we'll get a reaction to some of the price movement that we have seen, some of the money flow that we have seen from Todd Horwitz. Bubba Trading coming up in just a bit. All right, let's get to the markets.
You bet, Chip. Well, volatility expanded in the wheat market today, with July soft red winter wheat futures opening higher on the day before falling to moderately lower levels. Prices then recovered to post a mid-range close, although the settlement was below the opening range. Canadian farmers intend to plant 27.5 million acres of wheat this year. That's up 700,000 acres from last year. The U.S. dollar traded higher early in the session, but fell back to trade just slightly higher late in the grain session. July HRW wheat futures were a penny and one quarter higher at 586 and three quarters. July soft red down two and a quarter to 569 and one half. And July spring wheat futures closed at 608 and one quarter. Chip, that's down 3 cents on the day.
Yeah, little bit of mixed trade after the way that this market has been trading. Some consolidation makes a whole lot of sense to me.
Well, Chip, July corn futures opened slightly lower and traded higher for a short time before falling back to post a low range close and the first close below 470 for the first time since March 5th. Tariff and trade issues weighed on the corn market today after Canada's energy minister said his country is considering tariffs on U.S. ethanol as part of a potential next round of tariff retaliation. Ethanol production week ended March 7 totaled 1.062 million barrels per day, down 31,000 barrels from the previous week, but 38,000 barrels above the same week last year. Ethanol stocks steady, a hefty 27.38 million barrels. May corn futures 9.5 cents lower at 460 and three quarters. July corn down 9.5 to 467 and one half. December corn futures closed at 448 and a quarter, down 6 1/4 cents, Chip.
Yeah, the year-to-year trends that we're seeing in this ethanol production are still very positive for corn.
Well, a lack of support for U.S. biodiesel production has been a weight on soybean and soybean oil prices for some time, and the weight has been amplified by reports that some biodiesel plants in Iowa have idled production. Industry leaders are looking for certainty from the Treasury Department that biofuels will be supported with tax credits, but there has been little movement on this issue this year. A quick end of a potential labor issue at a soybean processing plant in Argentina was also a negative on bean prices today. July beans opened steady and near session highs and then quickly pushed downward through support at 10.25. May beans 10 and 3 quarters lower at 10 bucks and 1 half cent. July beans down a dime, 10.15 and 1 half. November beans closed at 10.06 and a half. That's down 9 cents, Chip.
Yeah, both the products lower today, too. July soybean meal down $1.90, $3.07.20, and July bean oil down 26 points to $42.15.
I've got December cotton 80 points higher on the day today, $69.65. On your livestocks, lower corn prices sent feeder cattle futures sharply higher. Choice boxed beef prices were just a nickel higher this morning, but movement was good at 91 loads. Front month fat cattle opened higher and near session lows and rallied to close at the highest level since Jan 31. Yeah. April fat cattle were $1.85 higher today at 201.40. April feeders 302 and a half higher at 280.72 and one half.
Cattle contract is what it looks like. All right, let's bring in Todd Horwitz, BubbaTrading.com. How you doing, Bubba?
It's a stampede. They ran me over.
As soon as I said it, actually, I thought, wait a second, I'm going to Bubba, and he does not like cattle.
I've been out for a while, but I am gonna sell them again. I mean, listen, it's like nonsense right now. These prices are a joke. If you compare cattle prices, the grain prices, it's like a comedy movie. So, again, grains are weak again. This is a problem. It looks like the bears are back in control there. Not a good position. The bears are in control of the stock market. And basically, I think you're seeing a lot of wholesale selling other than gold.
Other than gold. Okay. Talk to me more about gold and why we're not seeing that selling.
Well, I mean, gold is an inflation hedge, and of course, the inflation, I don't care what the number was this morning, they can put a 10 in front of the 2.8 and make it 12.8 because that would be more legitimate and more real. And as I told you last week, there's going to be some pain no matter what Trump does, there's going to be some pain in the markets before. And we've seen the equities, you know, the NASDAQ is almost in a bear market. The grains can't get off the ground. It looked like 2 weeks ago, I thought they were looking great. And there's too many economic issues to change. That's not going to happen too fast. I think, you know, give it a few months, and I think we'll be have a better read on the overall economy.
Okay. What's your outlook on the equities here? More pressure ahead?
Sell them into your hands bleed into every big rally, not into a little rally, but every big rally. We're well below the 200-day moving average, and there's an old market theorist. Bulls live above the 200-day, the bears live below, and we're well below. Even a 400-point rally in the S&P would still be bearish. Yeah. So I would be a seller of all rallies.
Yeah, 400-point rally in the S&P would still be bearish. Man, oh, man. Okay, Bubba, good stuff, man. Thank you.
Have a great week, babe.
All right, we'll talk to you later. That is Todd Horwitz, BubbaTrading.com. Okay, we still need to get a little bit more perspective on the WASDA reports that were released yesterday, and then we got to talk tariff and trade issues. We're going to do that next. Sam Hudson, Corn Belt Marketing here on AgriTalk.
Need help navigating these markets or consulting for your operation? Let AgMarket.net help. Receive personalized support and market guidance from seasoned commodity brokers, transparent account access, education and strategy resources, live calls, and access to research. Interested in consulting? AgMarket.net is able to help establish a customized marketing plan specific to your operation. Head to AgMarket.net or call 844-4AG-MRKT. There's risk of loss in trading futures under options.
Grounded from Helena is a powerful adjuvant that can take your herbicide application to the next level. It reduces AI loss from UV light and off-target movement while improving deposition and absorption. All to help you unleash precision in every spray application. Spray smarter with Grounded from Helena. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV. And you can download programs and watch offline. Go to FarmJournalTV.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at FarmJournalTV.com.
The next disaster.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
There are better known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Dig some dirt with a Coyote tractor, now available at Anabus Silo, Highway 25, Durand.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, helping family farms through tough times with land loan rates as low as 5.56% for well-qualified borrowers. Rates subject to credit approval and may vary. Visit FBN.com/AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Davis, my count is now up to 20.
20?
20 press releases from EPA.
That's and like since the last time we talked about it.
Exactly. I scanned it.
Uh-huh.
I scanned the headlines. Yes. I'm not saying that it's not in here someplace.
Okay.
Okay? I'm not saying that it's not in here someplace, but I have seen nothing on death.
Nothing on death?
Death.
Oh, death. Okay.
Yeah.
Diesel exhaust fluid.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
I've seen nothing on that. Right. I was kind of, I mean, when there's at least 20 press releases out here,
yeah.
I was starting to think that maybe we were going to get one that, I mean, would count big points for a lot of producers out there.
Yeah.
But nothing on diesel exhaust fluid that I can see. Maybe there is. I may have just missed it. If somebody else has seen anything out there, let me know.
21 can't be far away. You know what I mean? Maybe in that one.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. All right, let's get to the market. Sam Hudson, Corn Belt Marketing, is our guest analyst today. Sam, it's good to talk to you again, man. How are you?
We're doing well. It's always good to be with you guys, and hope your early spring has gone well. It certainly feels like it here in Central Illinois today.
Yeah. I mean, guys have got to be, in your part of the world, Sam, guys have got to be thinking about getting the planter out, aren't they?
Yeah, but I got to say, I think the number one thing on everybody's list was getting this grass burned off. I tell you what, it is just smoky everywhere out here. It's been that way the last couple of days. I guess it's good timing to get it done this week. It looks like next week's not so nice, but like I said, I think that's at the top of the list. So,
yeah, controlled burns everywhere and anywhere. So, All right, let's start with the WASDE that we got yesterday. I'm just curious if there was any headlines, any takeaways that you feel like we need to talk about in that supply and demand report.
Yeah, it's kind of more like the WASDE we didn't get. I mean, you know, not much change essentially for corn and beans. I think the thing you have to continue to look at, though, you know, is the fact that we're still running well ahead on export demand here for corn. And I know there's a lot of assumptions being made that some of these trade spats are going to equate to, you know, less demand, and maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. But these are the numbers we live with today. And so I think that adds a little bit of positive sentiment going into the, you know, that month end data, thinking that eventually maybe we'll see some adjustments there. But despite not moving on that, we still see global grain stocks, you know, whittling away slowly. And with the failure of that Argentina crop, it just puts a lot more pressure on this safrinha crop in Brazil. And if there's any problems there, it, you know, we'll add fuel to the fire here for us this spring if there's any issue.
Yeah, if you're going to build a bullish or tell a bullish story on corn, you're going to start by building it on the global stocks, aren't you?
You have to, alongside the fact that we've seen such strong demand here for the last, you know, 4, 5, 6 months, really since the onset of U.S. harvest. And, you know, maybe it does fall apart. But again, you're running under a lot of assumptions here. We're running on, you know, the assumption we're going to get big acres, which I'm sure there's going to be the intent to do that. And we're running on a trend yield. But you almost need those numbers now to, you know, avoid going backwards year over year. And in the meantime, some of these headlines are actually sending prices lower to potentially attract even more demand.
Yeah. What do you wish, if you could have done the balance sheet on corn, what other changes might have you done?
Well, I'm not super surprised they punted altogether. I would have been more surprised had we seen the carryout grow. You know, like I said, I think there's definitely room to bump corn demand. You just can't get carried away with it until we see some of the conclusions here. And the supply side is going to be far more important. The other trouble you have there, too, is with ethanol. You know, if you look at crude oil prices here over the last, you know, month and a half, we haven't done anything to improve margins there. And there's a lot of business, a lot of buying done on the front end here. A lot of processors got their fill and now they're grinding on it. But where are we going to be come June, July if that dynamic remains? You're going to be bucking that backwards. But at the end of the day, the spring weather and where we end up with these numbers are going to supersede all of this because we're still the biggest player in the room for global production and exports.
Right, right. Okay. So maybe don't need to make any changes like they didn't. Don't need to make any changes right now, but something that we need to watch just simply because the pace at which we're using on those in those categories is really pretty good. What's your overall attitude on corn right now, Sam?
You know, I guess I'm looking for some support here. You know, 445 to 450 in that December corn. I'm not saying you can't flush below there. You know, today's a perfect example of the current market that we have. The fundamentals literally have not changed. But look at the action that we've seen here over the last, you know, several weeks. A lot of selling to begin March just on the fears of what was going to happen. I think we could look in the rear view and see that this was a healthy cause for the Board of Trade, you know, when we finally start to get back to trading our fundamentals. I don't know if that's going to happen until we get it actually into April. But the risk is so thin out here for corn. My attitude, again, under 450 has to be one that kind of ignore it and, you know, close your eyes there for a little bit and look for a better day down the road. Because the problem is if you have that error, trying to unwind anything, getting caught short this market's kind of tough. And, you know, the crop insurance, always plays a role going into this.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay. Wheat. Let's talk quickly about wheat. Stats Canada, the number out today. Was there any surprise there?
I haven't dove into those numbers here too heavily, but okay. I think just overall, the global sentiment is going to drive prices. I think, domestically, our spreads and our basis is going to be driven by, what our yields end up and our crop conditions and so forth. But, I mean, we're not running out here. The data yesterday just puts our stocks usage back over 40%. And that may be the biggest weight on corn here as we go into summer, just because we see that as a feed alternative across the globe.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's across the globe. That's the important tagline right there. And we might be switching some around in the U.S. I don't know exactly how much is going to be going on there, but they are much more willing to switch in other parts of the world. And you get a heavy supply of wheat out there around the globe. It can put a weight on corn for sure. So,
and as long as there's not a shortage there anywhere, for wheat too, as we get into these, trade tariffs and spats, wheat could have more to lose. We talk about corn, and the trouble with corn is fine, put a tariff on it, do whatever you want, but you got to find a place to replace that. And it's going to get harder and harder to do that here moving forward without us.
Okay. All right. Before we get to the bean S&Ds, let's talk a little bit about trade and tariffs in here. The line that I've been putting on it, Sam, is that this is obviously more than an attempt to just simply shake things up. It is more than change for the sake of change. What is your take on the trade, the tariffs, and the way that the grain markets in particular have been dealing with it?
Well, I'd say that's well said. I mean, it's definitely part of a longer term mindset and trying to shift, where some of these agreements have been in the past, maybe bring them back into some more balance, compared to when they were, originally even created. The trouble with it, though, is that it's very easy. And then, again, we've seen this play out already. It's very easy to tear all that down and pull all that back before we know what it's going to be replaced with on policy, whether that's biofuels, or export policy or those tariffs in general. And so, we're kind of left in this void. And when that void takes place, the selling always wins out. There's always going to be someone to sell or have that fear. By the end of the month, we can put all this in the rear view because we're talking about the lack of area, and we refocus right back, to the reality of things. And I think that's what created this little bounce ahead of the report. We sold off, we got a little overdone, everyone panicked, and then it was like, there's a crop report next week, and we got to remember where we're at. It's threatening to go under 10% stocks usage in corn, and we're gonna be playing this, dancing this dance for the next 2 or 3 months, all while some of the most critical weather and numbers play out for our markets before we actually see the outcome.
Okay, so go 30 days out for me, Sam. If we're still dancing the tariff dance, and dealing with that issue rather than it being in the rearview mirror, how do you think the markets what do you expect from the markets if that's the case?
I think so far, probably what we've seen, there's going to be this general assumption that the demand numbers we have written down will do nothing but go down. But nobody can predict what our supply side will be. And so, if you end up having to flush December corn back down to 422 or 425 or something like that, I see that as a possibility. How do you keep it there, at least in this time frame? I think the big problem we're going to get into is if all we do is stay range bound here and kind of play the extremes based on whatever headlines are seen, and then we actually do get those acres and everything does look good at the end of June, that's where we probably see the Y in the road, because everyone's going to assume those demand numbers are correct and they are going backwards. And now we do have that supply to give them confidence to sell. But until that's assured, there could be just as many problems going back the other way if you have to unwind all of that.
Yeah. Okay. Wow, music. Holy smokes, Sam went by in a hurry. Sam Hudson, Corn Belt Marketing, is our guest analyst today. We've got to talk about the supply and demand balance sheets on beans, what that might look like. I want to talk about those bean oil usage numbers. And then let's start to do a preview of the quarterly grain stocks and the prospective plantings report. And by the way, we're up to 22 EPA press releases today.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
I'm Ty Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. Join me each weekend as we explore the news and issues that matter the most to agriculture. We know this past year has been challenging in many ways, but as agriculture continues to adapt, we are right there with you. From markets to weather, each weekend we take a deep dive into what matters most. Join me each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes, where July HRW wheat futures were a penny and one quarter higher at 586 and three quarters. July SRW down 2¼ cents to 569 and one half. May corn futures were 9½ cents lower at 460 and three quarters. December corn futures closed at 448 and a quarter. That's down 6¼ cents today. May soybean futures were 10 and 3 quarters lower at $10.5. November beans closed at 10.06 and 1 half. That's down 9 today. December cotton 80 points higher, 69.65. On your livestock, April fat cattle were $1.85 higher at 201.40. April feeder futures 3.02 and a half higher, 280.72 and a half. And April lean hogs down a nickel to 86.50. Get more. Visit tryprofarmer.com.
Mom's earlier.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Your Auto Owner's agent serving the Durand area is Jerry Thompson Insurance, a division of Ansay & Associates.
When your reputation is on the line, go to the Midwest leader, Bauer Built Tire and Service, for all your tire and service repair needs. They've been supplying cars, SUVs, light and medium truck tires, as well as farm tires since 1944. Plus, they've built their reputation on services such as alignments, brakes, and suspension work that will exceed your expectations. Stop in today at Bauer Built Tire and Service on Mall Drive in Eau Claire and in Durand. Bauer Built, built on service.
Healthcare your way. I'm nurse practitioner Nikki Gillis from Provisions Health of Durand. At Provisions Health, we provide convenient, affordable, and personalized healthcare services to individuals, families, and businesses in and around our community. From in-person or telehealth, simple acute care visits, DOT, and workplace physicals, and affordable lab testing services without a doctor's order, health and wellness is our priority. Visit Provisions Health, 309 3rd Avenue West, Durand, or online at provisions.health.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. The sun won't stop. There's plenty of it today, with high temperatures reaching the mid-50s, and more of it tomorrow as we climb to the low 60s. Clouds start to roll in for Friday, things become breezy, and we get muggy and warm, with highs reaching 70. Then at night, thunderstorms roll through. Get cheaper and faster internet from Whole Home Connect, 1-800-217-9129. Currently, it's 45.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at hashtag AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. We are in the middle of a fast conversation with today's guest analyst, Sam Hudson, Corn Belt Marketing. I want to jump right back to it, Sam. The go to the WASDE report and talk about what you saw in soybeans. Anything jump off the page to you?
Not really. Again, they didn't really, adjust anything there at all. They did lower the average price, I believe. But I don't know if the trade's, really leaning too much into that at this point. So, again, I think you're still kind of seeing the focus on the global front for now until we actually get into spring weather and see what that area looks like. And unlike corn, obviously Brazil's production size here on the soybeans is going to definitely bridge the gap on anything. So the globe can continue to go to Brazil. And I think that feeds into some of these trade spats. As long as China can continue to get what they need, it affords them time to stall on coming to the table for any deal.
Okay. Sam, are we moving the seasonals around in the soy complex because of Brazilian production?
That's been argued a lot. I don't know. It's just sloppy, isn't it? They've become such a big player. And when you look at all that's transpired, though, over the last 5 or 10 years, though, there's been a lot of nuances, between trade wars, COVID. Here we are again into, additional policy concerns. And so that all plays a role into all this. I think you can argue that. But, at the end of the day, Mother Nature is still probably the biggest indicator. And the ebbs and flows of the markets, ultimately, you're still going to queue off of that. But in between, we've got all this noise.
Okay. The bean oil balance sheet. We saw a reduction in the amount of bean oil going into biodiesel production, saw an increase in bean oil export numbers. I mean, that's the exact opposite of the story that a lot of people have been telling, including myself, that we're going to focus on domestic consumption of soybean oil and we're going to have to worry about exporting all the meal. But the trends are going in the other direction, Sam.
Well, that's right. And our slow policy, I think, is going to continue to create that dynamic. It seems like there's a lot of areas around the globe that have been a lot more willing to dive into the biodiesel. You look at some of the percentages in some of these other countries, and
yeah,
it sure be nice to be able to get that here domestically, without this government throttle, have that organic demand growth. And I think that's the good sign, Chip, is that's organic demand. People still want that. We just don't have the commitment here to support it, at least yet. That's where you hear stories about crush plants slowing down or shutting down or pulling back of investments, and we just need certainty. And I think once we get that will start the ball rolling on what I think could be a longer term supportive factor in these markets.
Okay. Well, I'm going to crystal ball you here and say, is that going to happen?
Man, possibly. But the problem is, again, how long? Are we talking 3 months or 3 years? I can guarantee it's, well, not guarantee anything, but I can probably bet that it's not going to be 3 months. And I think that's the challenge. So I just hope that there's at least some sort of framework or pathway to, keep this sort of fear out of the marketplace. And, again, corn's a perfect example here. If you continue to send prices lower out of fear-based selling, but the fundamentals can't change enough along the way, you're just creating a bigger problem here down the road.
Okay. Before we look forward too much, there's a couple of other issues that I want to get to here. How important is the dollar trade right now to the grains?
Well, I think it's nice that we've caught this break, at least for the short term, for this time frame, because we're competing very handily with those South American supplies as they get harvested. So I think that's good. Part of this is going to feed into what rates do as well. Been watching bonds closely. I think that first little pop here that we saw a couple weeks ago was probably based on the fear in the stock market. And if we get another rally, it'll be the confidence that we'll see a rate cut. You wonder if this break is enough to get that going. But for the time being, again, the dollar to the Board of Trade and to our exports and demand, I think only matters in certain time frames. But this is one of them. And anything we can get to help the cause, certainly welcome it.
Okay. Okay. Money flow, positioning by the funds. That was a major move that they made from the long side of the market in reducing their long positions in corn. What do we expect going forward?
Yeah, it was huge. And bigger than expected, too. I mentioned earlier that we may look back on this and, see it as kind of a blessing in disguise. No one likes the break in price, of course, but part of the reason I think that took place, Chip, is, these funds were slowly buying all the way up. If you go back on the chart and look where we crossed over the 100 and 200-day averages, there wasn't much volatility going on at those points. It wasn't until we finally got the yield cut that we all said, this is what what happened and why. Well, what also happened during that entire time was farmers selling, all the producers selling, all the commercials, all the open interest, all the business was done here on the front end. Well, the problem you got into then is they got caught at the top. You get into these trade spats, and on the way back down, the end user already has their business done. So who's going to buy it? You know, the small speculator that gets run over and then blows out the next day. And so I think that move is a little over exaggerated. You know, again, I think that creates opportunity if you're an end user. I think this little break we saw even since yesterday, probably just a microcosm of that.
Okay. All right. Let's look forward now. Next up, quarterly grain stocks, prospective plantings report at the end of the month. Start with quarterly grain stocks report. What are you going to be looking for?
Well, I guess on the supply side for corn, I don't know if it comes from a demand bump or from our stock surprise or what, but I've got to be leaning towards, you know, steady, neutral, or even supportive here on that side of things. I don't want to sit here and try to guess how USDA is going to handle it or where they're going to put it, but I'm kind of still one that believes last year's crop might have been even smaller than the final number we've got.
Okay.
And so I don't know if that's going to, you know, that's certainly not going to be a difference maker by the end of the year. I don't think it's such a wide margin to do that, but now the risk is that we all assume we're going to get this area, and then, you know, what happens if you do drop corn under 450 and keep it there, and then all of a sudden we don't? You know, that's going to get everyone playing the what-if scenario, and it was interesting that we were already doing that in February. Ag Outlook Forum numbers typically don't hold much weight.
Okay. Hey, hit me with that little bit again. I think you were breaking up on me. About the Ag Outlook Forum?
Oh, I was just... you know, saying it was interesting. You know, if you keep corn under 450 and you don't get that area, everyone's going to play that what if scenario a lot sooner. And we've already been doing it with these Ag Outlook Forum numbers. So I think that underlines and underscores just how sensitive things are that we're already playing that game. And if we're going to get that area, it's going to come from soybeans.
Yeah. Okay. What do you make of the 94 million number and the 84 million number on corn and soybean plantings?
I think those are good benchmark numbers. If you come in over the top, you know, again, you risk sending prices lower and the threat that we don't get them. But I would say that the intent to plant 94 plus, I think, is going to be pretty strong. You know, and again, I go back to that crop insurance and some of these areas where we've, you know, built up APHs so well over the last 10 years. This ECO, you know, if you can lock in 95%, put a good floor under things and still have, you know, and guarantee yourself good revenue with those APHs and a base price and still have upside. That seems like an easy play to make. I realize it's expensive, but in areas where they've got that dynamic going on, it's a little easier to commit to corn when you compare it to soybeans.
Okay. You want to flesh out that the ECO, the enhanced coverage option, a bit more? Help us understand exactly what you're saying.
Well, basically, you know, you can lift where your trigger point is. So instead of, you know, being triggered at 80 or 85% or something like that, you get a trigger point at 95%. Against that 470 base price. So it increases the chance that you're going to get a payment in general. If you go up to ECO, and that's usually against the county yield. Now, if you go to ECO plus, that actually gives you your own yield. And so in some areas in central Illinois here, we've got APHs that are 250 bushel an acre. Well, if you can guarantee yourself that 250 times 470 times 95%, you're going to write a pretty hefty check for it. You know, you're looking at $40+ per acre, depending on, you know, the area you're in. Maybe even more by the time you add wind and hail on top. But that gives you the confidence that you can go out there and put the planter across the field without having to worry about all the risk when you can't really even pencil soybeans.
Okay. Might be $40 an acre, but the another part of the reason that you got to look at it is because the subsidy level, the support level on that coverage is higher this year than what it was a year ago, right?
Oh, it's huge. And in a lot of cases, what we're seeing – you know, folks do is maybe they'll buy it down on the multi-peril and go 80%, but then buy up on that ECO. So they've got some of that coverage. If you have a complete disaster, you know, you still got that 80% to back you up, but then you're going to get paid on the way down, loss of bushels either way to help supplement that. And that's in your kind of your worst case scenario. So that gives you, you know, still pretty good coverage and allows you to go out here and forward sell and market as necessary too when I need spring weather.
Okay. All right, Sam. So when a client calls you up and says to you, you know what, I haven't done anything on 25 crop corn, nothing on 25 crop beans, what do you think I should be looking at? What does that conversation sound like?
Well, I would say right now, if anyone's already established any hedges on there, I mean, we started off doing, you know, 10 to 20%, you know, on some premium offer type contracts, you know, on the first rally to 470, and we're netting $5 on that. If I can know, secure that on 10 to 20% of my crop, I'm not sure I want to obligate myself to a whole lot more. Something I think I would really be interested in though is if you can get back up into that range again, that 470 plus range before this report or in around it, we get an increase in that volatility again because of that uncertainty, it might be a chance to sell option premium again and trade off that risk of time and uncertainty until you actually get the planter in the field. Otherwise, I wouldn't be selling. I think obligating yourself, especially if you got that high level insurance this early, is only creating a potential problem down the road if you have an issue. I'd always rather sell at a lower price knowing I've got the yield than sitting here speculating that I will.
Okay. Same for beans at this 1005, 1010 level?
Well, if you can bring yourself to even plant them. You know, I don't know how you commit to selling beans under $10. I mean, let's just be serious. It's kind of a gamble no matter which way you cut it at this point. You know, buy some insurance that at least, you know, protects your butt. But at the end of the day, it's hard to really buy up on it from these price levels. I think it's just more about what you've got for inputs.
Outstanding, Sam. Outstanding. Thank you so much. We covered a lot of ground, dude. Appreciate all your efforts right there. Thanks.
Thanks, guys. Have a good spring.
You bet. Sam Hudson, Corn Belt Marketing. Okay, I'm not sure if there are any other EPA press releases, but Wiesmeyer's been digging on it. We're going to let you know what's going on with EPA today next.
Day one.
Here's a real life story that affects 50% of all of us out there. It's called divorce. If you've gotten divorced and now you're struggling to pay your bills and your credit card debts are completely out of control, you need to call this special debt relief hotline right now. We help people with all kinds of money problems caused by different life challenges, a divorce, a job loss, even heavy medical bills. All these life events can sometimes financially stress you out and cause you to get out of control. We help people get their lives back by showing them ways to consolidate and reduce their debt, in some cases for a fraction of what they owe. If your credit card balances are more than $10,000, call us and learn how to reduce your credit card bills and monthly payments now. Here's our number.
Paid for by debt.com. Call now at 800-810-1820. 800-810-1820. 800-810-1820. That's 800-810-1820.
Military veterans and active duty service members, you could become a certified cyber warrior with just 12 weeks of training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, and IT pros with these skills often enjoy abundant opportunity and a great lifestyle. Protect our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. GI Bill, SkillBridge, and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP.
That spice is 10 out of 10, would recommend.
Hi, my name is Khadija, and a little thing I love about the Chick-fil-A Grilled Spicy Deluxe Sandwich is that spicy kick of the chicken. It's just the right amount of heat, and it gets me excited. And then, pro tip, add that cilantro lime sauce. It cools it down. If the sandwich is at 100, the cilantro lime takes it to 200. It makes me want to, like, tell all my friends and family.
Order a Chick-fil-A Grilled Spicy Deluxe Sandwich and a Diet Dr. Pepper on the Chick-fil-A app for a limited time. Real guests paid for their testimonial.
It's called Invita. Invita allows all crops to fix their own nitrogen and reduce fertilizer. It's helped farmers grow millions of acres of corn with less nitrogen. And less nitrogen is good for the corn, good for our farmers, and good for our planet. Invita's sustainable technology helps farmers maximize profitability with guaranteed results, which makes Invita an investment that's good for us all. Learn more at azotic.com/investor. That's azotic.com/investor.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV. And you can download programs and watch offline. Go to FarmJournalTV.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at FarmJournalTV.com. Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
My husband is a veteran, and he was injured in the line of duty.
It happened while I was deployed to Iraq. We were stopped at a checkpoint, and then all of a sudden, there was a loud explosion. An IED detonated 3 feet from my face.
It was bad.
I remember thinking, who's going to take care of my wife and daughter?
We took care of each other, with a lot of help from DAV.
When America's veterans face challenges, DAV is there.
I don't know what we would have done without them.
DAV was the voice that we didn't have.
Every year, DAV helps more than a million veterans like Jason get the life-changing support and benefits they've earned so they can achieve more victories.
It wasn't easy, but he never gave up.
My victory is knowing my disability doesn't define me.
He's an inspiration.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here along with Chip Flory. We're glad that you are here with us. Chip, something real quick here, because I want to get back to those emails. Certainly by now you've gotten the 23rd. The more things change, the more they stay the same. I don't know. I've been thinking about the 1900s. Like, nothing really much happened until about World War II. And then suddenly, well, no, nothing much happened until about 1900. And then suddenly everything just, and you know how fast things go. As soon as you got your tape, cassette, Walkman figured out, now you got to get a Discman and buy CDs. Yeah. Get this. Marty McFly, the movie Back to the Future, went back to 1955 from 1985. And it seemed like an enormous jump, didn't it?
Oh, yes.
It was huge. Everything was different. Everything.
Yep.
If we took Marty McFly's journey, we'd wind up in 1995. I don't know what's there. I still have pants from 95, dude. You know? I'm just saying. And in that context.
Perspective.
Yeah, change is hard. Change is hard. Now, you've touted, well, no, you didn't tout. The press release touted the greatest and most consequential day in legislative history. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Wow.
Zeldin, EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin. You know, if you're just joining, I've been counting the press releases from EPA as they've been coming into my inbox.
Been piling in.
Yeah, I've evidently missed some, which wouldn't surprise me a bit. But Administrator Lee Zeldin announced the agency will undertake 31 historic actions in, quote, in the greatest and most consequential day of deregulation in U.S. history to advance President Trump's day one executive orders and power the great American comeback, end quote. My gosh.
Yeah. The way that's expressed itself, because usually when a department, particularly one that, you know, the size of EPA, they got a couple irons in the fire. You know, a lot of times we'll see, like, maybe one press release will come out and they'll be like, here, we're dealing with this, or here's a new thing that we've got something going on. It feels like, you know, rather than just turning in a sheet of homework, they've turned in their entire comp book that they've been working on.
It's the doctoral.
And yeah, all at once. One giant deregulation dump.
Yeah, this is pretty astounding. Like I said, it started, I think, I've got to take a closer look, but I think it started earlier this morning, like at 9:30, 10 o'clock Central, with the Waters of the U.S. rule and back to the continuous flow as far as the waters that are going to be under the control of the Army Corps of Engineers. Mm-hmm. So it's and it's been piling up. And I mean, it's been one thing right after the other. I'm not saying that it's not out there, and I haven't had anybody make contact with me and say, no, you missed it. But I still haven't seen anything on diesel exhaust fluid.
Okay. Okay.
And the reason that I'm mentioning that is because I know that it's high on the list of a lot of producers out there that are thinking, hey, if we can get rid of this and it would be a good thing in their book is what mm-hmm. they're saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else sticking out to you out of there?
You want to talk about going after a campaign promise in in an aggressive fashion.
Yeah, yeah.
This is it. This, I mean, he promised deregulation on business side. Davis, there's one thing in here that, you know, another thing that he's talked about is that he wants to get after grocery prices and get grocery prices lower. Well, listen to this. EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin announced that the agency is reconsidering a regulation requiring specific refrigeration technologies, which has contributed to the rising food costs. It is an all of government, to borrow a phrase from the past administration. It is an all of government effort to come after some of these issues that President Trump has identified as something that he can have positive impact on.
Would those have been some sort of green fridges?
Yeah.
That they required everybody install?
Yeah.
See, there's that, and then they turn around and remember the quote, lower your gasoline prices now. And now we're going to go after the grocers to lower these grocery prices. It's not right. The grocers. It's the stupid green fridges.
Amen,
glad
brother.
I didn't know this before just now. I would have been a much angrier man.
Well, I'm glad to hear the anger coming to the top now.
That's fading already. I can't stay
mad. Oh, really?
I can't stay mad. I'm no good at it. No. No.
Wow.
But the outrage remains.
Okay.
The outrage remains.
All right.
Too many economic issues to change things quickly. That was Bubba's sentiment, and I kind of feel like Sam Hudson was echoing that in various ways.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent observation. This gets to the time thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But EPA is taking a shot at the you got to be patient and give things time. Talk out there,
yeah.
And as a matter of fact, they might be erasing it and saying, "No, now is the time. Yeah. We're going to do this. Let's get all the cards on the table. Let's go." Yeah.
Wow,
amazing! National Weather Service 6-10 day outlook for March 18th through the 22nd. Above normal temperatures expected over the entire Corn Belt. Above normal precipitation expected over most of the Corn Belt, Nebraska, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Wisconsin, southern Minnesota, in on that above normal precipitation. Wow, 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 wow. What a day. Hey, thank you so much for listening today. Come back tomorrow morning. We're going to talk about some biofuels incentives with Donnell Rehagen from Clean Fuels Alliance America. And we're going to talk some of these EPA changes with NCBA.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
This is Andrew McRae, host of The American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends from grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
Progressive knows if you have to choose between everyday life and your RV, RV wins.
What, are you going to take the RV to the mountains or go pick up your dry cleaning?
RV wins!
Are we cleaning the gutters or taking the RV camping?
RV wins!
Are we getting a new passport or cruising up the coast?
RV wins!
Don't forget, you got that trip to Sweden coming up.
Oh, yeah, passport, then RV.
With Progressive, you can bundle your RV with your home or auto and save with a discount and spend more time enjoying those savings in your RV. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states and situations.
Are you concerned about age-related macular degeneration or AMD? If you're over 50, then you should be. AMD impacts as many as 1 in 10 Americans over 50. Now, protecting your eyes is easier thanks to New Nordic's Blueberry Eye Supplements. New Nordic's Blueberry Eye Supplements not only protect your eyes, but help improve night vision, as well as helping to relieve eye fatigue caused by digital devices. Enjoy healthy vision with New Nordic's Blueberry Eye Supplements. Available now at Amazon.com or NewNordicUSA.com.
You're listening to WDY.
Brands and more uncertainty for businesses and investors. Canada, the largest supplier of steel and aluminum to the U.S., announcing more than $20 billion in retaliatory tariffs after the U.S. implemented that 25% on tariffs for all imported metals. ABC's Karen Travers is at the White House.